Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Every single day, we are working to protect your right to hunt, fish, and shoot. Learn more about the DSC at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome back to this old camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. We're glad that you're here today. Grab your parka. We're headed for Alaska. Front door to the camp house at Big Billy Kender Outdoors is brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care. It very gently, over time, calms the overactive dog. Your vet can tell you more about Calming Care. Riley Woodford works for the Alaska Fish and Game Department, and he wrote a really interesting article that I received earlier this week about moose and their ability to defend themselves and their young against predators, wolves, grizzlies. They're much more well-equipped to do that than you would think. Interesting story that Riley wrote, and I'm looking forward to visiting with him later on the show. Also, we're going to go inside the FLW, Fishing League Worldwide. FLW is the largest organized bass tournament group on the planet. And Kathy Fennell has been there since 1982. She's executive VP and general manager for FLW, and she's going to talk to us about some pretty exciting things that are happening with FLW, along with the merger of FLW and Major League Fishing. So make yourself at home. We saved that chair by the fire just for you. Thanks for joining us in camp today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors. Hey, I know you guys in Arizona are going to have a great time tonight at the Arizona Game and Fish Commission's annual Commission's Awards event. This is where the folks in Arizona get together every year and recognize national, state, and local leaders, wildlife advocates, and volunteers for their hard work supporting the state's wildlife. Tapatio Cliffs Resort in the Grand Ballroom there in Phoenix, Arizona. I know you're just as sick of this as I am. Water turkeys, cormorants, tens of thousands of these fish-eating birds are impacting not only fish farms and hatcheries, but also our wild fish populations in a lot of areas across the United States. I know here in Texas that these cormorants learn the trout stocking routes, and they're sitting in the trees waiting for the trucks to unload the trout into neighborhood ponds for the neighborhood fishing program. The cormorants snatch up the trout before the fishermen can. The U.S. Interior Department has recognized that this has become a problem, and they want your input on cormorant management. What should we do? I've got a real good idea, but PETA might get mad if I were to say it. But you can say it directly to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The link is at bbkoradio.com. Well, it's late January. The water is hard up north, but down south, it's time to go bass fishing. And bass fishing they are this weekend on the Great Sam Rayburn in Texas. It's the kickoff to the 2020 season for the FLW Pro Circuit. 155 pros from around the world competing for a top award of up to $135,000 and, of course, those valuable points in hopes of qualifying for the 2020 FLW title, the Pro Circuit Championship. Rayburn is about 2 feet low right now. The water's clear, and the water temperatures are warmer than normal for this time of year. If you want to catch the takeoff in the morning or a weigh-in this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon, Humphrey Pavilion, Sam Rayburn Parkway. Brian New, Belmont, North Carolina. He put together a tournament full of junk fishing, as he describes it. A little bit of everything helped him put together 49 pounds and 8 ounces last weekend on the Kissimmee chain of lakes. That was enough to make him the winner. At the Bassmaster Eastern Open on Florida's Kissimmee chain, Brian fished Toho, Cypress, Kissimmee. Most of his fish came from Toho, though, hydrilla. A couple of high school kids have made history by winning national championships back-to-back. Briarwood Christian School's Grayson Morris and Tucker Smith. And now they're going to make history again when they fish day two of the Bassmaster Classic, Alabama's Lake Gunnersville. Not only will they fish day two of the Classic, but they're going to weigh their fish on the big stage with the big boys that night. Major League Fishing has announced some Major League changes to their Bass Pro Tour this year, including a variable weight minimum for each fishery. Up until now, it's been every fish over 1 pound. Now some tournaments will require a 2-pound fish to count. They're also including some automatic championship berths for qualifying round winners this year. The Bass Pro Tour opens up February 7th, Lake Eufaula, Alabama. If you live in Georgia and it's time to renew your fishing license, be really, really careful online. Make sure that you're buying from the state of Georgia. A scam license website has been detected. It appears to be active in both North Georgia and on the coast. This scam website appears to be an advertisement during a Google search for Georgia fishing license. The site then allows you to enter your personal info, name, date of birth, social security number, driver's license number, phone number, email, even your residential address. Make sure you're dealing with the Georgia DNR. Talk to your vet about calming care if you have an over-barker, an over-jumper, an overactive dog. Calming care, it's safe and works over time to calm the overactive dog.
Hi, this is Bobby Labonte, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Safari, defined as an expedition to observe or hunt animals in their natural habitat. That's a pretty good overview of what we do at DSC. Safari allows us all to enjoy waterfowl on a nearby lake, elephant and African bush, and each other along the way. As we go, we recognize the need to conserve that natural habitat and those native animals both near and far. Based in Dallas, Texas, the DSC has chapters organizing across America, and the impact of our work reaches around the globe. It may be desert water guzzlers in West Texas that enable the survival of our native sheep, support of a helicopter in Africa that day after day tracks down and puts away poachers, a youngster enjoying the rifle range for the first time, or maybe it's a solid and immovable stance before politicians that would take your shooting and hunting rights away from you. If these things are important to you, please join us. Become a DSC member at biggame.org.
They call it Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch.
So the Couples by the Creek is an event we do once a month. It is a time where there's no kids allowed, so the parents can come out for a great evening. We bring them all into the arena and start out shooting in here. We get the skeet shooting going, archery tag. Joe and Nola do a phenomenal dinner afterwards. All your food, all the bow rentals. You can bring your own equipment if you'd like, but you don't have to. Most of the people that come to the Couples by the Creek have never shot a bow. And we have groups of ladies that come, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple. We've had four or five guys come together. So it's just a night away from the kiddos, get out and have a good time and have a safe time. We have a DJ usually afterwards. Let's play some music, get a little dancing going with a great meal to follow.
Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's the dangdest date you've ever taken her on. And she just might fall in love with bow shooting or with you. That's okay. Cinnamon Creek Ranch has the largest archery pro shop on planet Earth, and we do weddings. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. There's a place I love to go in the pristine Texas Hill Country that features first-class lodging, outstanding cuisine, world-class wing shooting, the best free-range access deer hunting in the world, my favorite, by the way, plus native whitetails and turkey, and some of the most comfortable hosts that you've ever enjoyed. Don't forget to throw in the fly rod. You'll want to experience the crystal clear waters of Joshua Creek and the Guadalupe River. Rolling hills and Texas live oaks, friendly smiles, and spring-fed waters. Orvis and Beretta agree that Joshua Creek is one of the finest hunting and shooting ranches in existence, and I think you will too. You won't find a prettier place to get married. And our staff and facilities will make your corporate event, family reunion, or private party turnkey and the best you'll ever experience. Joshua Creek Ranch in the historic Texas Hill Country between San Antonio and Fredericksburg. Want to go? Of course you do. JoshuaCreek.com.
You folks come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back. Partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
You know, over the past decade, more women have come into the shooting sports than any other demographic of people, more than kiddos, more than men. The new shooters and hunters are women. Well, look what's happening now in the fishing world. Lake Minnetonka, Minnesota. They are set to break all kinds of records for the Women Ice Angler Project. January 29 through February 2, frigid cold temperatures, and women coming out of the woodwork to ice fish and actually camp right there on the water for several days. WomenOnIce.com if you want to know more. Let's jump on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line right now and go to Lake Sam Rayburn, Texas for the FLW Pro Series kickoff this year. And that's where we're going to catch up with FLW Executive Vice President and General Manager, Kathy Fennell. Kathy, it is a pleasure to have you as a guest on our show today. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Billy. I'm thrilled to be on the show today, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me on.
For folks that don't know, some of Kathy's duties are working with tournament directors, which that's a lot of tournament directors when you're talking FLW. Site solicitation, where's all this going to take place across these United States? Logistics, information technology. Kathy works with FLW Bass Fishing Magazine, FLW Television, angler management. That's thousands of people. And this is all typically before breakfast in your life, Kathy. You're a busy woman.
You know, we've got a lot of busy people around here, but yes, I've been very blessed to be a part of a great organization for many, many years and have the opportunity to be able to part of all the different elements of that organization. And so I work with, obviously no one person can do all those things you just said on their own, and I'm very fortunate to work with a great team of people here at FLW.
You guys have been so successful through the years, and you mentioned many, many years, your association with FLW. It goes all the way back to 1982, correct?
That is correct.
Wow.
Is correct. I started working in the office way back in the day. Mike Whitaker hired me to input data. I was a data entry person, used a little Apple computer and typed in Bass Club to develop a mailing list. You know, that's how I got my start in this industry.
Well, it would take you a while to input all the data from today's FLW. My goodness, you guys have flourished through the years, the world's largest organized bass fishing trails, plural. What do you attribute that to? I know you've paid special attention to guys like me, the everyday angler.
Well, I think that it's important to keep focus. You know, I mean, you have to make sure that you're exactly right, that you're taking care of the anglers. You know, our greatest asset is that we've got a great group of passionate, dedicated employees here. And then that has been enhanced and reinforced tremendously by the recent acquisition by MLF. Got anglers. I think it's important that you always maintain, you know, the focus on the anglers, the sponsors, and then, you know, you have the right people in place working and make sure that what you're delivering is something that the fans want. And so it's a combination of all those things that's been the attribute to our success over the years.
Let's talk a little bit about that MLF acquisition of FLW. That news came late in 2019. And at first there was a little knee jerk from anglers around because they just didn't know how this was going to affect their world. But boy, it's a positive thing all the way around. And I knew that from the minute I heard these two quality organizations are going to work together.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, just out of the gate, you know, the first thing that we were able to do because of that combined forces is to be able to reduce entry fees for the grassroots angler. And you know how important that is at the BFL level. And then also do the same, you know, reduce entry fees, maintain payouts, for the FLW series anglers, and even expand, offer more opportunities to more anglers. And then to continue with a pro circuit, format that provides opportunities for all of our loyal pros that are out there. And so it's been a win-win. It's been a win-win for everyone.
First stop of that pro circuit underway this weekend. It got kicked off a couple of days ago, in the great state of Texas, Lake Sam Rayburn. And the ball is rolling for 2020. You're off and running. And I was looking at some of these early numbers, and this is just through the first 43 days of angler registration. Overall, 63% entries are up over last year. That is a phenomenal number. And I think a number that sticks out to me even more, and it's so impressive and shows that you guys are making good decisions, sound decisions, Kathy, is 29% of the anglers that have registered to fish FLW in 2020 have not fished an FLW tournament in the past 5 years.
And for us, that's extremely exciting news, you know, not just for FLW, but also for the industry as a whole. It's like you said, not only being able to retain the anglers that we have, but to bring back anglers that haven't participated with us in a while and then have been able to attract new anglers. I mean, that's what's needed for the future of the sport. And we're so appreciative of everything that MLF has done, to make that possible, for us to be able to continue to do the things that we love to do. And you're right. We've got Sam Rayburn event underway and love to invite everybody to join us on FLW Live. You know, that's 8 to 2 Saturday and Sunday. And so you can keep up with all the action there.
Kathy, if you'd be so kind as to hang on with us for just a few minutes, we're going to come back and continue our conversation. Kathy Fennell is the Executive VP and General Manager for FLW. This corner of the Camphouse brought to you by Fortiflora, America's number one canine probiotic. Order it from Chewy.com because all of our dogs suffer from GI upset from time to time. Well, from Sam Rayburn, Texas, let's move it up north to Northfield, Minnesota. Tom Dawkins is going to help us pick out a puppy.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be back on the show. Today we're going to be talking about pedigrees. Now, I know most everybody out there is going to be dealing with a sporting breed, and this is going to be concerning any working breed of dog. Now, I don't care if you have a retriever, a pointing breed, a spaniel, hounds, or even if you have a cattle dog, pedigree makes a big difference. Why does it make a difference? Well, we're talking about dogs that are bred for a specific purpose. Now, on a retrieving puppy, we want a puppy that has a lot of natural retrieval. And by that, I mean a dog that no matter what's going on, the most important thing for him is to have something in his mouth. For a pointing dog puppy, that might mean a puppy that really doesn't think about anything else other than trying to find something to point. And that might even be as easy as seeing a puppy go after a butterfly and point it, or I've seen extreme cases where a puppy in the house sees a fly walking across the table and can't resist pointing it. But that's natural ability. Those are things that you're going to buy when you buy a pedigree. Here's some things I want you to look for. When you're looking at a pedigree to be educated, I'm going to have you look for these symbols. On the pedigree, you're going to see FC, that stands for field champion. NFC, national field champion. NAFC, national amateur field champion. AFC, amateur field champion. MH is master hunter. SH, senior hunter. And JH is junior hunter. Now, looking for those things, I want to make sure that you understand the more of those that you have in the first three generations of your pedigree, the better puppy you're going to have in the long run. Now, keep that in mind. When you're purchasing a puppy, you've got a 12-year commitment. Make sure that you buy the best possible puppy that you can afford up front. It's going to make training that much easier for you down the line. That's our training tip for the week. To find a Dock and Dog Supply dealer near you, go to Dockins.com, and for more training tips, look for the Tom Dockins Retriever Training Book at all major bookstores or your favorite sporting goods store.
Hey, learn more about Tom Dockin or any of our BBKO Radio Pro staff when you visit us at BBKORadio.com. Let's go grab a cup of coffee.
I'm Delmer Smith. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. A short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net.
Since 2003, Bended Knee International has answered the call to take the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to the Navajo Nation and the people of Siberia. Many have never heard the simple but magnificent message that Christ is God, who loves us so much that he died for our sins, defeated death, and rose again. The simple message of salvation brings the gift of eternal life if we'll only believe it. I am Tom Watson, president of Bended Knee International. Learn more about Bended Knee at bendedknee.org.
Discover true Western mule deer hunting in Nevada. The state of Nevada offers a special non-resident-only mule deer tag each year, which greatly enhances your chance of being drawn. The deadline is early March, so now is the time to enter. To enter the draw, you need to be sponsored by an outfitter, and that starts at nevadaoutfitters.org. That's nevadaoutfitters.org. Nevada is home to world record mule deer. This special tag is non-resident only, and the draw is just weeks away. Contact nevadaoutfitters.org today. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line five times around each side, pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Casseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Casseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Casseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Casseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Glad you're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
A helicopter flies over African bush with the DSC logo on it. When poachers are busted, they can clearly see who caught them. We are the DSC. We are at biggame.org.
It is showtime across the country for the outdoor industry. A lot of fishing and hunting and shooting and outdoor shows this time of year. As a matter of fact, this weekend in the great state of Washington, Puyallup, Washington, it's the Washington Sportsman Show. At the Knoxville Expo Center, Knoxville, Tennessee, the East Tennessee Fishing Show is this weekend. And the Chicagoland Fishing, Travel, and Outdoor Expo is a great way to escape the lake wind effect, cold, and snow of January in Schaumburg, Illinois. The New Jersey Convention and Expo Center, right there on Sunfield Avenue in Edison, New Jersey. We got a big fly fishing show this weekend as well. Here in Texas and our friends down in Florida, across the southeast, out in California in the Delta, those folks are all thinking about maybe a new bass boat. And I want to talk to Kelly Jordan about that. KJ is one of our BBKO radio pros, one of our go-to guys when we have questions like, hey, what features do I need to look at in a new bass boat? KJ, what do you look for when it's time for a new boat?
Well, there's a bunch of qualities in boats out there, and what everybody's looking for is the mix of all the different factors that come together that makes them purchase that boat. I run a Skeeter boat, and I always have, and I think that is the absolute finest boat comprising of all the different qualities you look for in a boat, in my opinion. What you look for in a boat is you look for fishability, meaning how stable it is in the water. Can you walk around the front deck, or somebody on the back deck can move around and not going to throw you out of the boat? How they sit level in the water, that's fishability. Then you have rough water ride. You know, everybody thinks their boat is the best rough water ride, but I tell you what, drive and you decide. Take test drives. All these boat companies now, they can take you out and test drive that boat. The layout, the storage areas, how the boat lays out to your style. You know, are the rod boxes big enough? Is there enough tackle storage? Are the seats comfortable enough? Are there enough coolers in the boat? Do they hold ice? You know, whatever. Is the weight distributed well enough to be able to be fast? A lot of people don't care about going fast, and you don't always have to go fast. But I'll tell you something. Speed is good in a bass boat because the faster you can go means that you can go cruise a little bit quicker than everything else. And I'll tell you what that boils down to is fuel economy. With the same motor on two different boats, if one goes faster than the other one with the same boat, they both burn the same gallons per hour at wide open throttle. A faster boat, you actually have better fuel economy because you go farther on the same time running. That's how you can equate that to miles per gallon in a bass boat. Length, you know, do you want a, you know, 16 foot, 17 foot, up to, you know, I think there's 22 footers available now. They all have their different points, and of course, the bigger you get, the more expensive you're talking about. You also want to look into the motors that you put on the back of the boat. There's a bunch of brands of motors out there we all know. I would tell you that dependability is the key, in my opinion, in a motor, because if your motor is broken, it's really hard to go fishing. Troll motors, same thing. You know, there's a couple brands of troll motors out there. You know, look for whatever fits your style. I use Minn Kota. Electronics, big keys. We all know the electronic companies out there. I think Humminbird is at the cutting edge of all this technology, and you can't go wrong with that. They have great customer service. You know, look into your favorite electronics as well. And go to boat shows, go get test rides, look at a bunch of different boats, and try not to listen too much to the hype about everything. Get in the boat that you're most comfortable with, and you'll be the most happy.
Let's talk about length of boat. What do you prefer? I know in a lot of these tournaments, you're fishing by yourself. You're the only guy on the boat, but sometimes they stick a cameraman on there with you. They do different things. What do you prefer and why?
Well, if it's really rough out, I prefer a 22-foot long bass boat. And if it's not real rough out, I probably would have a 17 or 18-foot bass boat or even a 16-footer. So, you know, for me, picking the ultimate tournament rig, you know, I try to balance the speed, how fast you can get the boat with how long it is. You know, if you go over about 20 feet to 21 feet, usually they're not as quick as, say, the 20-footers with the same horsepower that you know, your rating is for. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not a speed demon, but you do get to fish longer and you have a little bit more range before you have to gas up if you have a faster boat. So I try to weigh all these factors in. I have stuck with a 20-foot boat, even though a lot of my fellow bass pros have 21-foot long boats, but and those get you a little bit more in rough water, but a 20-footer is maybe a little bit more nimble and moving around and maneuvering in shallow water in and around, like, say, boat docks and stumps and that kind of stuff. So, and there are certain situations where I think a 16-foot bass boat would be awesome if you could have every size you wanted to. So there are so many great boat companies out there, you know, that have boats as good as a Skeeter boat almost. You can get out there and run that rough water like that, you know, it's pretty intimidating, and get home. No magic answer, but for me, a 20-foot boat, a 19 or 20-foot boat is probably the ultimate size.
This is a Big Billy Kinder Conservation Minute, a quick focus on people making a difference.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
Preserving what we love and educating our next generation every day. To learn more, go to BigBillyKinderOutdoors.com. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. If you enjoy what you hear on the radio, but you can't be around next week when it's camphouse time at BBKO Radio, make sure you check out the podcast. We use the broadcast as our podcast weekly. It's available at the website, bbkoradio.com. And all of the leading podcast carriers know about and carry BBKO Radio. Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio. They'll all send you a free automatic download each week, and you can listen at your convenience. Hey, we're going to continue our visit with FLW Executive VP and General Manager Kathy Fennell coming up in a few minutes. But right now, Larry Wysoon, I want to talk about scouting deer for this fall, because now is a good time to do it.
Next year does start now. Generally what I try to do is I wait about 2 weeks and let things, just after the season closes, let the animals kind of get back to their natural pattern. That's when I start doing my scouting, because they're still going to be pretty much where you're going to find them next year. Now's a good time to start looking for rubs and scrapes and maybe push those areas that you were scared to get into because we're bedding areas and some other things. Carry a little map. I mean, you can print out all kinds of maps on your computers. If you can't, hand draw your little map and get out there and mark where you find the trails, where you find rubs, where you find scrapes. A lot of times those bucks will come back to the same scrapes. A lot of times they'll come back to the same rubs. The other thing is, too, is we're not that far away, and I would assume that in probably about a month or so, we'll start having the bucks drop their antlers. Get out, then and start locating those animals, those antlers. Pick up the antlers on your map, make a little X where you find it, because one of the things that we've learned over the years is quite often with the hunting that I've done personally and where we've guided on some of the ranches, a lot of times we've taken those big mature bucks within about 100 yards of where we found those shed antlers.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that that's going to apply pretty much year to year to year, unless you have some kind of devastation, tornado comes through and totally changes your habitat, something like that.
You bet. It's going to be exactly that way almost year after year, unless there is a dramatic change to the habitat, and that could alter things a little bit. We're blessed with the white-tailed deer that we have in this part of the world. Is they're not migratory like some of the mule deer are. Totally different game when you're talking about mule deer. But with the whitetail, pretty much they're going to be the same places they were the year before.
Another one of our pros here at BBKO Radio, the great Larry Wysoon. They call him Mr. Whitetail. Thank you, Larry. Hey, catch Larry on Pursuit Channel. He's a co-host, along with Blake Barnett of DSC's Trailing the Hunter's Moon TV.
Hey, everybody, it's Edwin Evers. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, I told you to tie on a jig. What's going on?
Winter at the lake is a special time. The still, quiet solace of the woods and water at Grapevine Lake offers a perfect opportunity to slow the season down a bit. Tucked away behind a secure, gated entry and right on the still shoreline of the lake is the Vineyards Campground and Cabins, the perfect place to enjoy a warm campfire with family and friends during the special winter months. Full hookups, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every campsite and cabin. The Vineyards' full hookup campsites and fully furnished cabins are the perfect place to kick off the new year and enjoy the winter months. You'll feel like you're in a distant winter wonderland, but just a few blocks outside the Vineyards' gate is historic downtown Grapevine. Cozy cabins, pull-through full hookup sites, and a camp store stocked with all you'll need, including firewood. Come see us this winter. VineyardsCampground.com.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too. When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail. Painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org, and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
Somewhere over this horizon sit a million little dictators, eager to purge humanity of its hunting instincts. Contrived emotions flood from their air-conditioned, glass-paneled, Wi-Fi-enabled habitats, over the mountains and out into the wild, from which they hate to admit they emerged. Their foolish quest to force nature to fit their feelings threatens the survival of every living thing on our planet. If their fevered tantrums are ever imposed, the Earth will be ruled by the deadliest combination in the natural world, human ignorance and human arrogance. Travel another path, the truest path, nature's path. Trust the hunter in your blood.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Conserving wildlife and the habitat that they need for survival. Come be a part of that with the DSC. Learn more at biggame.org.
We have a phone. Why don't you call it sometime? 1-877-820-BBKO. 1-877-820-2256. And the website is bbkoradio.com. Hey, give us a like on Facebook, Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. You might win something. Hey, what a pleasure to have Kathy Fennell on the show today. Kathy is the Executive Vice President and General Manager of FLW. She's on Lake Sam Rayburn, Texas this weekend for the kickoff of the FLW Pro Series, which you can watch online this afternoon and again tomorrow. BBKORadio.com will take you where you need to go. Kathy, talk to me about your personal best largemouth bass. What's your biggin?
Tell me a fish story. I'd love to tell you, you know, that I've got a, you know, that I've caught it. What I'm going to tell you is that ask me that in a few years. I look forward to, I love bass fishing. I love fishing. I love all kinds of fishing. And growing up on Kentucky Lake, you know, I've had the opportunity to be able to experience, you know, we've got a great fishery for crappie and sauger and bass. And, you know, we go out there and catch bluegill. And so it's great. As far as my personal bass, I don't think that's not a story I want to share yet, but Kenny Houston decided to come down and fish on his lake. And so I'm holding out, you know, for my personal bass story.
You have, I knew of your roots going back to Kentucky Lake, so I knew that your hands had smelled like bass many times in your life. Kathy, we're going to be able to experience FLW on our television screens a lot in 2020.
And that's right. That's another expansion for next year is that the FLW Pro Circuit's going to be airing on Outdoor Channel and Sportsman's Channel. In addition to that, we're also all of our championships for all the other circuits, including high school and college and BFL. And those are all in this FLW series. You know, you'll be able to see those on WFN as well. And so a lot of great new expanded opportunities and exposure for all the pros and for the fans to be able to keep up with all the pros. From 2020.
Yeah, I wanted to go back and touch on a point that you made, and that is lower entry fees. You guys have significantly lowered entry fees in most of your FLW events or all FLW events, but the payouts have not come down. They're going to remain the same. Am I correct?
That is correct. And so opportunity to win more money is better than ever before. I mean, we've taken the BFL entry fees for the regular qualifiers back to $200 for the boater and $100 for the co-angler. Very excited to say the weekend before, we were out at St. John's River and you know, we had first place prize $12,000, which included, the $7,000 Phoenix FLW bonus and Phoenix Boats FLW bonus. And so, great opportunity for anglers for 2020.
Phoenix Boats. Phoenix Boats has come on big time, this year with you guys. I know you're very proud of that.
We are. It's always great, like we say, we're very fortunate to be able to work in this industry with a lot of people who have the same passion and drive as share that same as we do. And you won't find better folks than Gary Klaus and Teresa Johnson over at Phoenix and their whole staff and some team. And so we're really excited about that partnership.
Kathy, we're talking about some very positive things and numbers up drastically, really looking good and strong for FLW. We don't want to leave the impression that there's not room for others. If folks are listening and they've never fished a bass trail in their lives, but they love to bass fish and think it might be fun, there's room for them at FLW.
That's absolutely right, and thank you for saying that. You're right. I mean, it's great to talk about all the increased entries, but the great thing is that we run over 200 events out there, and so there's a lot of opportunity in all of our events. Obviously, the pro circuit, that's a set field, fixed field, and so that one's set, but on all the other circuits, there's a great opportunity, and so, yes, it's a great year to get signed up. Lowest entry fees and ages and greatest payouts and ages. And all culminating with great championships on the FLW Series. You know, a championship, we culminate there with a $200,000 first place prize. So that's the largest championship first place prize for that series is ever we've ever had. And then same way, great events at every level. So we invite you all, please, you know, come out and give us a try.
You betcha. Yeah, and we've got everything you need to know is on my website, bbkoradio.com. It'll take you right where you need to go. Kathy, what a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the incredible growth and success of this already incredible organization. And I'm going to talk to you again. I look forward to that. And maybe next time I'll get a great personal best story out of you.
All right, I'll look forward to that as well. Thank you, Billy.
Oh, Kathy, you are so welcome, and welcome back anytime. What a pleasure. You know, I haven't mentioned it before, but also today at that FLW Pro Series season kickoff on Lake Sam Rayburn, Texas, the FLW Foundation's United Fishing Derby will be held at the Umphrey Pavilion, free and open to anyone under the age of 18 and all Special Olympians. Bring the kids out, even if they don't know how to fish, the pros will work with them and help them. And the first and second place kiddos that catch the biggest fish will be recognized up on that FLW Pro Circuit stage later today at the weigh-in. Pretty cool. And so very important to take the kids fishing.
I'm lost in her there holding that pink rod and reel. Doing almost everything but sitting still. Talking about her ballet shoes and training wheels and her kittens. And she thinks we're just fishing. I say Daddy loves you, baby, one more time. She says I know. I think I've got a bite. And all this laughing, crying, smiling, dying here inside's what I call living. And she thinks we're just fishing on the riverside, throwing back what we could fry, drowning worms and killing time, nothing too ambitious. She ain't even thinking about what's really going. Thinks we're just fishing. She's already pretty like her mama is. Gonna drive the boys all crazy, give her daddy fits. And I better do this every chance I get, 'cause time is ticking. Yeah, it is. And she thinks we're just fishing on side, throwing back what we could fry, drowning worms and killing time, nothing too ambitious. She ain't even thinking about what's really going on right now, but I guarantee this memory's a big one, and she thinks we're just fishing. Thinks we're just fishing. Yeah. Oh, she thinks we're just fishing. We ain't only fishing.
Hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee and then come back and do this again. See you in a minute.
In the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Safari may be deep in the African bush, or maybe a trip with the grandkids to a neighborhood pond. No matter where you safari, we fight for you at the DSC. BigGame.org.
We are headed north this hour to the great state of Alaska. Riley Woodford with Alaska Fish and Game is going to talk to us a little bit about an article that came into me that he wrote earlier this week, talking about moose in Alaska and how they, I mean, their everyday life is trying to stay out of the mouth of a bear or a wolf. How do they survive? Well, they've got a little Mike Tyson in them. We're talking moose with Riley Woodford, Alaska Fish and Game this hour. I think you'll find it entertaining. Also, with spring right around the corner, if you don't flip and pitch for largemouth bass, oh, you're missing out on some of the greatest fishing fun you'll ever have. So, today it's a lesson from the master himself, Gary Klein, BBKO Radio Pro, a guy who's made a lot of money flipping and pitching through the years, walks us through the basics and gets us ready for those behemoth springtime bass. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. If you own a bird dog or a working dog, it's got to be Pro Plan Performance. 89% of the field trial champions across America are fed Purina Pro Plan. Pick it up at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, and Arkansas. I mentioned that Gary Klein is going to be talking to us about flipping and pitching. It's my absolute favorite way to fish, to catch bass. It's just so exciting, and it's a technique that you can use 12 months out of the year, spring, a special time. Good for flipping and pitching. My latest blog at bbkoradio.com is about flipping and pitching. You might want to check that out when you're sitting around waiting for the oil to get changed or sitting in the car waiting for her while she's in Hobby Lobby or something. bbkoradio.com. The annual grizzly bear capture report is available. It happens about this time every year in the state of Wyoming. The 2019 annual report of grizzly bear management captures, relocations, and removals. This gives us a really good idea about how many bears are intermingling with humans and causing some trouble, or livestock. The entire report is available on the Wyoming Fish and Game Department website. But I will tell you that Fish and Game in Wyoming captured 33 individual grizzly bears this past year in an attempt to prevent or resolve conflicts. The grizzly bear and his distribution throughout Wyoming is increasing, primarily throughout the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, and that leads to more conflict potential. Bears are expanding into agricultural, residential, and human-dominated landscapes. But even with that expansion, there was a significant decrease in grizzly bear conflict activities over the past 12 months compared to 2018. The reason? A strong supply of natural food, coupled with 2018's management actions. These conflicts always ebb and flow with a biologically recovered population. Did you know that sportsmen and women play an important, crucial, I would say, role in wildlife management? Outdoorsmen and women advocate for conservation policies and fund a majority of wildlife conservation efforts. But we have a problem. Fewer and fewer young folks are engaged in the great outdoors. And that's why the Tennessee Wildlife Federation has started Hunting and Fishing Academy. They want to get more Tennessee families outside and interested in the outdoors. If you're listening in Tennessee and want to get started with an outdoor lifestyle with your family, bbkoradio.com. How about this cat up in Pennsylvania? State Representative Joseph Hohenstein. He has introduced House Bill 2104 in Pennsylvania, which would make it a crime to leave a dog outside even on days with moderate temperatures. HB 2104. It's modeled after similar bills introduced in other states, requiring that any dog left outside for more than 30 minutes have access to a shelter with a very specific building design. When temperatures are below 32 degrees, a dog is not allowed outside for more than 15 minutes, even if it has access to a shelter. This bill would make it a crime in Pennsylvania to keep your dog in the backyard on a 65-degree day without access to a shelter. It would make it a crime to leave hunting dogs outside when the temperature is below freezing, even though they frequently hunt in these conditions. Big white-tailed deer die-off in Oregon. Tests conducted by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife veterinarians confirmed that epizootic hemorrhagic disease, EHD, is responsible for the die-off of an estimated 2,000 white-tailed deer in eastern Oregon. On the western face of the Blue Mountains, from Milton Freewater to the Pilot Rock area. EHD losses are not uncommon in Oregon, and this is not expected to have a long-term effect on the deer population size. Mule deer in the area were not documented to be affected by the EHD outbreak. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is now determining if deer tags for the fall 2020 seasons need to be reduced or some hunts even canceled in the units affected. Hunters will know of those decisions by April 15th. All kinds of Purina Pro Plan formulas for every age, from puppy to senior citizen, and every lifestyle, from couch potato to active dog. Choose the formula that's best for your dog when you visit an Atwoods Ranch and Home Store.
Hey, everybody, it's Forrest Woods. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, can you believe they've named that baseball team after my boat?
Safari, defined as an expedition to observe or hunt animals in their natural habitat. That's a pretty good overview of what we do at DSC. Safari allows us all to enjoy waterfowl on a nearby lake, elephant and African bush, and each other along the way. As we go, we recognize the need to conserve that natural habitat and those native animals both near and far. Based in Dallas, Texas, the DSC has chapters organizing across America, and the impact of our work reaches around the globe. It may be desert water guzzlers in West Texas that enable the survival of our native sheep, support of a helicopter in Africa that day after day tracks down and puts away poachers, a youngster enjoying the rifle range for the first time, or maybe it's a solid and immovable stance before politicians that would take your shooting and hunting rights away from you. If these things are important to you, please join us. Become a DSC member at biggame.org.
Discover true western mule deer hunting in Nevada. The state of Nevada offers a special non-resident-only mule deer tag each year, which greatly enhances your chance of being drawn. The deadline is early March, so now is the time to enter. To enter the draw, you need to be sponsored by an outfitter, and that starts at NevadaOutfitters.org. That's NevadaOutfitters.org. Nevada is home to world record mule deer. This special tag is non-resident only, and the draw is just weeks away. Contact NevadaOutfitters.org today.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's word and learn about His great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
Isn't it time to check that South Dakota pheasant hunt off of your bucket list? Isn't it about time to step back in time to a simpler era when the cackle of a mature rooster is followed by the smell of smoke from your barrel and maybe a chuckle or two from your buddies after that oh-so-close miss? Spring Creek Hunting and Fishing Resort, just north of Pierce, South Dakota, is that place in time where taking good care of our guests is the priority every day, year after year. At Spring Creek, South Dakota, we know that a warm and welcome lakeside cabin with private bath and big screen TV is just what you need after enjoying our 35,000 plus acres of pheasant country. When you come stay with us at Spring Creek Fishing and Hunting Resort, you can expect the best pheasant hunting that South Dakota has to offer, along with the best bed, the best steak, and the best time of your life. Talk to us about private charter jet service and come see us at springcreeksd.com. I've relied completely on Buffalo wool socks and gloves for about a decade now, and that's not about to change. When I first discovered Ron and Teresa Miskin's Buffalo Wool Company, it literally changed my hunting, fishing, and cold weather tolerance. Last year, after a South Dakota freeze that had hunters in our group dropping like flies before the hunt was over, I had no issues and was able to completely enjoy the hunt start to finish. When I shared my Buffalo Wool secret with them later, they were instantly convinced. Buffalo Wool, in harsh conditions, had outperformed all of the other gloves and socks on that trip. They're even warmer than wool, and I feel the Buffalo Wool difference immediately after putting them on. All Buffalo Wool products are 100% money-back guaranteed, but you'll keep them. The Buffalo Wool Company is now selling bed covers that will keep you toasty, even on the coldest night. Check out the website and learn the secret of the Buffalo. It's thebuffalowoolco.com. That's thebuffalowoolco.com. Fish the winter and hunt longer with Buffalo Wool.
In the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
Hey, California, you got 5 extra days to shoot ducks this year. The season has been extended, closing now on Friday, January 31st. At the end of legal shooting hours, balance of state, southern San Joaquin, and southern California zone. Riley Woodford joins me now from Alaska Fish and Game. Hey, Riley, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I kind of feel like I'm talking to an old friend because I have read your press releases. Alaska fascinates me, and I always look forward to your information coming out of Alaska, and I read everything you send. So I feel like I'm talking to an old buddy here. I feel like I know you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So you read Alaska Fish and Wildlife News?
I do. I read Alaska Fish and Wildlife News, and I get all the latest and greatest stuff coming down out of your world, which is so different from mine. As a matter of fact, I can't even imagine what January in Alaska feels like.
Well, it's 3 degrees right now in Juneau. And it's blowing. It blew 80 miles an hour last night. It's a kind of a unique winter thing called the Taku winds. They would get when it gets really cold like this. So it was howling. The wind, it's gusty. But it was quite a thing. But it is 3 degrees. It's very cold.
Do people even get along when it's that cold for that long? Because you guys won't see spring until, what, June?
Oh, no. This is just like a cold snap. So it's typically in the upper 20s or 30s in the winter. And then, you know, there's always a couple of times in January or February when it'll get really cold like this. But yeah, the main thing is the darkness, because here in Juneau, it's light from about maybe 8 o'clock in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon. But when there's snow on the ground, of course, there's a little bit more light and it's nicer. But if it's overcast and raining, it can be the days feel pretty short. But yeah, people here cope. People get out and ski no matter what the weather's like. And we are very sociable people.
There you go. That's good. That's good. Well, I want to talk to you about a piece that came to me earlier this week from your office that you had authored on moose and some of their habits, and especially their kicking and stomping. We don't have to interact with moose here in Texas. That's not a joy and a privilege that we have, but you guys do. And boy, they can be dangerous, can't they? They have to be defensive. They live amongst wolves and big predators like bears. So they have to learn to defend themselves, and they're young, and they do that by kicking.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I wrote an article for Alaska Fish and Wildlife News for the January 2020 issue about moose kicking and, you know, their self-defense behavior, and they do. Yeah. There's a lot of predation on young moose, younger than two, especially in their first 6 months. And then an adult moose is pretty invulnerable, even to a pack of wolves or to a grizzly bear or a brown bear. So, you know, a full-grown, healthy moose, certainly in the summertime when it's not hindered by deep snow or something, it would be almost impossible for a predator to take on. And but then when they get older, like, you know, 8 or 9, we see predation starts to increase again. And, of course, you know, everything can change in the winter. If there's deep snow and it gets crusty, then the wolves can run on top of the snow, and the moose is still so big and heavy that it'll be bogged down, and that gives a pack of wolves an advantage. And, you know, wolves are basically pack animals, so you don't have one wolf attacking one moose. You got 6 or 8 wolves trying to take on. But if a moose can get, you know, in a good spot where maybe it's in the water or it's protected by – it's got its back to a cliff or a big tree or something – it's going to be in pretty good shape. But the calves are what really get nailed by predators. And so what we see a lot is mother moose, defending their calves against bears and wolves. And that's really common in June when they're first newborn and they're really vulnerable and small. And then throughout that first summer.
Yeah. I read where you said that, you know, if they can make it to 2 years old, then there's a big change in the percentages that, hey, we just might make it, you know, for a while without this. I was amazed at how versatile these moose are at kicking. They can kick in any direction. They can kick on the run at full speed. They'll even stand up and box now and then.
That's right. Yeah, they'll rear up. You know, I know horses rear up, but I don't know if a horse can rear up and then while basically standing on its back legs, kick forward. But a moose can do that. A moose can rear up and, you know, they're big animals. They're 6 feet off the ground, at the shoulder. And, you know, you got an animal like that rearing up. It's, you know, it's well above a man's head. And, so yeah, they'll rear up and then they can just flick that hoof, front hoof forward, and it's a powerful, powerful kick. And they kick each other. You know, moose are social animals, and they're not exactly herding animals the way horses are, but they are social animals, especially if there's a food source, you know, like a really nice patch of bushes greening up in the spring. They'll congregate around that, and they have a hierarchy in their group, and they'll establish, you know, sometimes they'll have conflicts, and so they'll box with each other. So there's a picture in that article of two moose standing up on their back legs, kicking at each other.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they flare up their hackles, you know, all the hair on the back of their neck and shoulders, you know, like other animals will do, like cats will do or something, and they lower their ears. And boy, if you see a moose with its ears down and laid back, you're in for trouble. So,
yeah.
They can kick in any direction. They can kick forward. They can kick sideways. They can certainly kick backwards like a horse does. And they can kick on the run. And one of the biologists told me when I interviewed him that elk will do that too, that he's seen elk kicking at predators on the run. And I actually saw a video of a grizzly bear. We call grizzly bears brown bears when they live on the coast, and you've heard of Kodiak brown bears, but they're the same animal, basically the same species. So, but there was a mother moose had driven this bear off an attempt to take her calf and was chasing it away. And she was kicking at it as she was chasing it. And you'd miss it if you just looked at the video and you're like, oh, wow, this moose is chasing a bear. But if you look at it, you realize that, man, she's trying to kick it as hard as she can while she's chasing it. And he's running as fast as he can. And they're kind of circling around in this open wetland. And but I think at that point the bear is, you know, he's definitely given up on that calf.
Wow, yeah, they can defend themselves. How often do you guys see a moose in town that'll wander in and around civilization?
Well, it depends on where you live. I mean, I live in southeast Alaska in Juneau, and we don't have a lot of moose here. Moose are actually still kind of colonizing Alaska, parts of Alaska. And so moose, why you don't have them in Texas, they like the kind of habitats that exist at the edge of glaciers or in northern, kind of these northern climates. And so in Anchorage, though, and Fairbanks, people see them all the time. They are very good at coexisting in green areas and undeveloped areas that are adjacent to civilization. So, for instance, we know that around 800 moose are hit by cars every year, and that's just what we know. There are certainly more that aren't reported, or where a moose runs off and dies in the woods or something, but it's a huge deal. We're in the middle of a big safety campaign right now about driving safely in the wintertime around moose, because when the snow's deep, they'll get on roads because they're plowed. It's very common in Anchorage and Fairbanks for people to see moose in the winter.
Riley Woodford. Interesting stuff, Riley. Hang on. We're going to be back with you in just a little while. Hey, a buddy of mine, Dr. Arlie Reynolds, trains dogs in Alaska and runs some of the most intense sled races on planet Earth. And he feeds Purina Pro Plan performance formula. 30% protein, 20% fat.
Good morning, this is professional turkey hunter Ray I. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist, Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail. Painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org, and I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org. I learned years ago that nobody but nobody can make wild game taste better than my friend Joe Masacchio and Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. I also learned years ago that I need to keep a feral hog in my freezer at all times because Joe works magic with them.
Well, basically you can do everything we do with a deer with a hog. The ribs are always good and people don't think so, but you know, we do the taco meat and breakfast sausage, which is the big seller, and then we do these hog stickers, which are like Hawaiian steak on a stick, which is really good. Kids love them. The tamales are really a great hit, and they're really easy to serve. They take less than 4 minutes to cook them in a microwave, or you can steam them. But if you steam them, it's just like you just made them. And all the sausages, I mean, the jalapeno cheese and, you know, brats, all that kind of stuff.
After your successful hog hunt, it's got to be Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CCR WildGameProcessing.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. Yeah, and I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin, and every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
Do you love to feel the thump? Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, presenting the all-new Wally Marshall Pro Series and Speed Shooter Rods by Lewes. For more than 2 decades, I've been designing the best crappie rods on the planet. The Wally Marshall Pro Series crappie rods are built with IM8 blanks, cork handles, stainless steel guides, fast tip, and plenty of backbone. Great for vertical jigging, casting, and trolling for crappie. New for 2020, Wally Marshall Pro Series Rear Seat Crappie Rods by Lewes comes in 10-foot and 11-foot, designed for the crappie fanatics that love to feel the thump in heavy cover. Hey, my favorite technique is shooting docks. Wally Marshall Speed Shooters are designed with an IM8 blank, AVA foam handles, and airwave guides for the perfect shot every time. Speed Shooters come in 5'6" for tight docks, up to 7 foot to get the longest shot. Man, do I love the 7-footer. Hey, be sure to check out all my crappie rods and reels at Lewes.com or MrCrappie.com.
Looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop time. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
Hey, sincere thanks from all of us for tuning in to Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hope you enjoy the show. My friend and BBKO Radio Pro, Gary Klein, 30-time Bassmaster Classic qualifier, co-founder and competitor in Major League Fishing, is a versatile angler. He can run them all with success, from a spinnerbait to a drop shot. But Gary, your backbone through the years has been flipping and pitching.
Well, it really has been, Billy. And I mean, you know, one of the key things for me growing up as a young fisherman, you know, I was 15 years old and I met D. Thomas. And D. Thomas is truly the father of flipping. He's the one that invented the technique. So in my early years, I was kind of like D's son. You know, he has 3 daughters, so I was the son that he never had, and spent a lot of time in the boat with him learning the technique. But there's so much more to flipping and pitching than just the technique.
You know, I took some Wounded Warriors hunting, and I messed my foot up. I had 6 surgeries. I was on a walker for about 1.5 years. But you know what I could do? I could lean on that walker with a knee, and I could practice flipping in the yard. You can really get good in the front yard. And I watched everything I could find on the Internet where Gary Klein was talking about flipping and pitching. And one key that I picked up on that's made me a better bass fisherman, well, there have been a lot of those, but one in particular is when you flip to that tree or whatever, you're going to immediately start spooling offline. You want to make sure that jig or whatever you're pitching drops straight down.
Well, that is correct. And let's just kind of start at the beginning, and I'll try to run through it real quick. Pitching and flipping is nothing more than a technique. It's a way to present a lure to shallow water cover that the fish are living in or using or around. But one of the advantages to flipping and pitching is that, unlike casting, your accuracy is almost 100%. And you always hear me talk about a pattern within a pattern. And folks, I cannot stress this enough. A lot of times the fish like to be in the cover. A lot of times they're on the backside of the cover. And when you're flipping and pitching, because you're so precise with your lure presentation, you really get a chance to experience that. It's almost like being up close and personal, like bow hunting. You actually get to develop a relationship with the animals.
I tell you what, it's so much fun for me to go down a bank. I caught my first double-digit fish with a jig, flipping, pitching, and it's just so much fun to go down through there and visualize that next piece of cover and then pick it apart.
Well, not only that, too, because especially when you get on a bite where the fish are really nice size, around the bushes, the buck bushes, or maybe in a lay-down tree or something, when that lure is presented to that fish, he's there for a reason. He's ready to feed, and bass are pretty aggressive. But on a big fish, you can't see him below the water, so a lot of times your lure presentation may be on the backside of the fish. That fish is going to move a lot of real estate when he swings his body around to get to the bait. That's when you see the bush move, or the logs move, or the debris, or the big boil. And it is. It's really, really exciting.
Yeah, and the blood pressure starts going up in anticipation. Do you modify your jigs in any way, or does that have to do with the situation you're in?
Well, both of those comments are true. I mean, the lures that I use today, let me just say, first of all, when you are using the flipping or pitching technique, most of the time, anglers across this country have been conditioned to using a single hook, like a jig with a weed guard on it, or a Texas rig plastic worm where the hook is not exposed. That allows the bait to be fished in heavy cover without getting hung up. But flipping, like I said earlier, is just a technique. And it's really important not to really get hung up on the lures as much, because I flip a lot of spinnerbaits. Pitching and flipping a spinnerbait is very efficient. Again, it's a piece of lead on a wire frame that has a single hook, so it is very weedless. But I have literally flipped almost every type of lure that you conventionally cast, from big square bills to a 3/4 ounce Hopkins spoon. I got on a bite one time flipping down a rock bank, and I was actually catching them on a spoon better than I could anything else. So you have to be open-minded with the technique. But here's the advantages to flipping and pitching. I've already covered the fact that your percentages, once you learn the technique, got to practice it, is almost 100%. You can put the lure anywhere you want to. I mean, on the backside, front side, down the middle. But because you're using a rod that is usually extended in length, the length of the rod gives you the leverage. And along with the technique, you have the tendency to use heavier lines. In other words, I'll flip a lot of 25, 30, 40. Oh, now we flip a lot of braid. So you have an advantage as far as you don't have to worry about your line breaking. But because you have a rod that has length, it gives you, the angler, the ability to lead the fish away from the cover or out of the cover once you set the hook. And, you know, when you have a bass that's hooked in the mouth, he's going to go where the pressure takes him. And you can direct his direction with the length of the rod. So length of rod, larger line, and yes, on the hooks that we're using, because everything is such close quarters, you don't have a lot of stretch factor involved, we have the tendency to use a thicker diameter hook, or maybe a what you hear called a wide bite hook, something that's got a bigger bite. So yeah, it's all a combination of everything.
Yeah. Let's build a flipping rod real quick for some folks. You're a Duckett guy. Tell me about your rod, and I bet you want a real fast reel on there, too.
Exactly, because the reel, when you're flipping and pitching, does nothing more than pull the line in. Inches per turn of the handle, that's all a reel does. So I have the tendency to use a high-speed reel, and at Duckett we have a 360 that is a 7.3:1, so it's relatively quick. But also, when you go to a larger diameter line, you're also increasing the gear retrieve or the inches per turn of the handle on that reel. So, yeah, but my perfect rod is a Duckett. We have a MicroMagic rod. It's a 7.9. It is a parabolic bend flip stick, and in an 8-foot in the white ice line, an 8-foot Gary Klein flip stick, parabolic, with a 9.5-inch handle on it. So all the rod is out in front of the reel seat itself. So I'm trying to give an angler an advantage by extending the rod length.
When do we set the hook, Gary? When we see our line swimming off? When?
Well, I tell you, that's real important, because we had just covered the fact that it's in close battling. You see everything going on. You watch the bush move.
I'm wanting to set the hook when that bush wiggles.
Exactly. And as a rule of thumb, I never set the hook until I feel the weight of the fish. And what I do it real quick, but when I see a strike or I detect a strike, I'm actually going to lift the rod tip until I feel the weight of the fish and set the hook. And just a real quick example, a lot of times I've been on bodies of water where the fish are really on a good crawdad bite. So I'm fishing a brown jig, brown-red jig, brown-orange jig, black red, something that's resembling a crawdad. Well, a lot of times a bass, his initial movement on a crawdad will be to basically grind it into the bottom and injure that crawdad. And one way you experience that, you get on a good jig bite and you're starting, you know, you set the hook. You'll hook a lot of these fish on the outside of the mouth. So normally what I'll do when I experience that, I'll get the bite on a jig, and then I'll just pick up on it. And if the fish is not there, then I'll just kind of jig it a little bit, and he'll get it. You know, he's going to get that bait. So, yeah, as a rule of thumb, never set the hook until you feel the weight of the fish.
Flipping and pitching, an extremely important and fun technique to have in your arsenal year-round, but especially with the spawn on the way in the next 60, 90, 120 days, wherever you live. Hey, right now, if you're down in Florida. And the master himself, Gary Klein, doling out the lesson today on the show. Hey, I want to say congratulations to Shane Wilson. He is a retired public educator and founder of Fishing's Future. And he's going to be inducted into the Texas Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame this year. Shane is from South Padre Island, a retired public educator for 35 years and founder of the nonprofit Fishing's Future, which strengthens family bonds through fishing. Shane started the program in 2007, and since then it has expanded to 70 chapters in 21 states. Congratulations, Shane Wilson.
I'm Eli McDonald with the University of Missouri Bass Team, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
I've relied completely on buffalo wool socks and gloves for about a decade now, and that's not about to change. When I first discovered Ron and Teresa Miskin's Buffalo Wool Company, it literally changed my hunting, fishing, and cold weather tolerance. Last year, after a South Dakota freeze that had hunters in our group dropping like flies before the hunt was over, I had no issues and was able to completely enjoy the hunt start to finish. When I shared my buffalo wool secret with them later, they were instantly convinced. Buffalo wool in harsh conditions had outperformed all of the other gloves and socks on that trip. They're even warmer than wool, and I feel the buffalo wool difference immediately after putting them on. All buffalo wool products are 100% money-back guaranteed, but you'll keep them. The Buffalo Wool Company is now selling bed covers that will keep you toasty, even on the coldest night. Check out the website and learn the secret of the buffalo. It's thebuffalowoolco.com. That's thebuffalowoolco.com. Fish the winter and hunt longer with buffalo wool.
Winter at the lake is a special time. The still, quiet solace of the woods and water at Grapevine Lake offers a perfect opportunity to slow the season down a bit. Tucked away behind a secure, gated entry and right on the still shoreline of the lake is the Vineyards Campground and Cabins. The perfect place to enjoy a warm campfire with family and friends during the special winter months. Full hookups, lightning-fast Wi-Fi and cable TV at every campsite and cabin. The Vineyards' full hookup campsites and fully furnished cabins are the perfect place to kick off the new year and enjoy the winter months. You'll feel like you're in a distant winter wonderland, but just a few blocks outside the Vineyards' gate is historic downtown Grapevine. Cozy cabins, pull-through full hookup sites, and a camp store stocked with all you'll need, including firewood. Come see us this winter. VineyardsCampground.com.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
From the rough brush of South Texas to the thick bush of South Africa, it's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Wild sheep in the western U.S. water at desert guzzlers, providing life-sustaining moisture where there was none. Look closely. DSC fingerprints are there. BigGame.org.
The website is bbkoradio.com, bbkoradio.com. The phone number, 1-877-820-2256, 1-877-820-BBKO. Hey, I want to jump back on that Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line now and continue our conversation with Riley Woodford with Alaska Fish and Game. A very interesting article that Riley wrote concerning moose in Alaska, or moose in general, and how they defend themselves in a tough country when you wake up surrounded by bears and wolves as neighbors. Riley, you quoted one doctor that had done a necropsy on a wolf, and it was very obvious that this wolf had been engaged with a moose, because when he removed the brain from the wolf, there was actually a hoof print, a moose print, in the brain itself.
That's right, yeah. That was Lane Adams, who's a biologist with the federal government, with the USGS, and yeah, he did a ton of work in Denali, and he worked with wolves, bears, and caribou in his career, and he was looking at a moose skull. It was actually a moose head, and he was cleaning up a wolf head, and he was cleaning up the meat, you know, and preparing the skull, which now is typically done with bugs, right? You put a skull in a enclosure with domestic beetles, and the grubs will eat all the meat off of it and clean it right up. But back in the day, we boiled them and scraped them and got them clean so they look like a museum specimen. And sure enough, yeah, there was this big dent in the side of this wolf's skull that fit the shape of a moose's hoof. And he was like, yeah, it looks pretty obvious to me that wolf got kicked in the head and survived. And
wow.
He's seen lots of wolves with broken legs or broken ribs that he, you know, it looks pretty convincing that it was inflicted by a moose. And we don't see a lot of injuries like that in areas where wolves only feed on caribou, because there are plenty of parts of Alaska that don't have moose, you know, the open tundra and the North Slope and all that. There's tons and tons of caribou and not that many moose. And so wolves aren't eating moose, and they're not fighting, you know, they're not fighting with them.
Yeah. Interesting. Riley, were you born and raised in Alaska, or did you move there?
No, I was born in Oregon. I grew up in eastern and western Oregon, and I moved here when I was 23. But I, you know, when I was in high school, I started getting Alaska Magazine, and from the time I was about 15, I had decided I was going to move to Alaska. And so I did. As soon as I graduated with my biology degree, I came up to Alaska.
And you're loving it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love it. I moved up to Fairbanks for a couple of years and then moved back to Juneau because I like being on the water. We have the ocean and the mountains, and it's a really wonderful community. It's a great place to live.
I'm going to come see you one of these days, and I would highly recommend everybody read you every month. And where can they find you online?
Yeah, just Google Alaska Fish and Wildlife News. It's a monthly online magazine, and I write about nature in general and animals, and then a lot of the research and the work that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is doing, both in commercial fisheries and wildlife, the Wildlife Division of Wildlife Conservation, and a lot of it. I just try to find things that are interesting, and so in December, I think I wrote about shorebird research, about these lesser yellow legs that migrate all the way to South America, and it's always something different. There's cool articles about rockfish and using underwater cameras to look at fish and learn about how fish populations are doing, and sonar and three-dimensional depth sounders and all these cool tools that we have. And like with these shorebirds, they have these cutting-edge, state-of-the-art tracking devices, and you can put this tiny little device on a bird and track it all the way to South America.
Amazing.
And find out where it's spending its winter, and then find out when it leaves South America and comes back to Alaska. So the tools are astonishing. I mean, when I started out in biology, people were strapping these radio transmitters that were like bricks on the necks of moose and going out there with these big sort of goofy TV antenna kind of arrangements and tracking them down. Now you can put a tiny transmitter, a GPS device on an animal, and it'll email you via satellites the location of that animal every 6 hours, and the batteries will last years.
Amazing. Amazing stuff, and that's the kind of stuff you read with Alaska Fish and Wildlife News. What a pleasure to talk to you, Riley, and I'll be bugging you again soon. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Yeah, it's a pleasure talking with you, and I'll be down in Texas myself probably this summer. I go down there every year. My wife's family is from San Antonio, and we go down, and her sister's in Tyler, so I've gone fishing for white bass and hunting for predators, and I enjoy it.
Oh, good, good, yeah. You picked the wrong time of year to come down, summertime. Hey, Riley, throw another log on the fire.
I will. Thanks, Billy.
My pleasure. Riley Woodford with Alaska Fish and Game, and his monthly newsletter online is free. Check it out. I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the time we've had together in this old camp house today, and invite you right back here next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.
Aussie Oak Swamp Bottom Dewdrop falling. Old Tom answering a hoot owl's calling. Nothing like the sound when the day breaks. Me and Daddy in the woods on a Saturday. See, his granddaddy hunted these hills, and I hope someday that my kids will. He said, do me a favor before I'm gone. Love this land and pass it on. Pass it on. He showed me how to cast a line, where the whitetail live and how to read their signs. He'd lean my gun up against a tree so he could hold a barbed wire fence for me. Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said, one of these days, son, you'll be grown. Remember what I taught you and pass it on. My dad walked in with an old shotgun. He said, this belonged to your grandpa. It's yours now, son. So I handle it with love and pass it on.
nothing like the sound when the day breaks. Me and my boy in the woods on a Saturday.